Module 2 and the process of adjustment. Now we've reached the stage of 7, self-concept, from feeling bad to knowing why I'm worthy. It is okay to feel good about yourself. You can learn to feel better about yourself and gain strength to help you adjust better to a crisis in your future life. As you have successfully adjusted to this crisis, you will feel even better about yourself. For some people, it is as if they are experiencing a personal identity crisis. You may be seriously creating strains on your current relationship now with friends, and also, if it continues, in the future. Carl said, "When I was a child, my father continually warned me about getting a big head and becoming in love with myself. Then I went to church and learned that I'd been born sinful. At school, it was big boys and those with all the brains who got all the attention. Finally, I married, so there would be someone who thought I was worthwhile. It made me feel good that someone cared. But then she started to point out my faults to me. I finally reached a point where I began to believe that I was truly worthless. It was then that I decided to leave the marriage." Your self-concept is the skeleton which, if you like, supports your personality. Here we can see that when self-concept becomes fractured, the whole personality begins to fragment. Apparently, we learn much of how we feel about ourselves at an early age from the significant people around us, including our parents, as well as siblings, relatives, and also teachers. This basic level of self-concept is later influenced by our peers, especially during that all-important impressionable teenage years. You can read more about this process in the articles section of my main website. As an adult, your partner becomes a primary source of validation and feedback, and greatly affects your feelings of self-worth. Many relationships that end in separation developed a pattern of interaction which was destructive to the self-concept of both parties. In fact, some become so destructive that the people may not be able to end the relationship due to those feelings of worthlessness. But I shall be covering this later in terms of dependent relationship structures. For example, the battered wife thinks that she deserves the emotional and physical abuse. She is unable to leave the relationship because she does not believe that she'd be able to make it on her own. Many people have suffered the erosion of their self-concept in bad relationships before, and may consequently seek relief in separation and ending the current relationship, but only when they realize, on reflection, how this was a positive step to take. However, for many, until they realize this all-important fact, the paradox is that when the physical separation comes and the relationship ends, self-concept hits an all-time low. When the relationship fails, the identity suffers. Studies have shown that people with good self-concept were better able to adjust to the end of a relationship. And this research endorses what common sense tells us. A good self-concept makes adjustment to a crisis in our life easier. During this period, it is reassuring to know that your concepts about self can be enhanced, because we can see this as a period where we can relearn, grow, and change. Step 1 seems obvious, but often understated. You must make the decision to change and to find that inner source of emotional energy, which can be called a soul connection, a psychological ego, or a life force connection. Everything in our life is often affected. Our work, relationships with other people, the way you parent your children, your choices about a future partner, and most of all, the way we feel about ourselves. Enormous changes may occur in your personality as you improve your concept of self. The decision is the first and perhaps the most difficult step. But if your commitment is firm, then the steps that follow become easier to explore and, of course, integrate into your day-to-day life. Step 2 is to change the way we look at ourselves. For example, most people can easily list, say, 20 things they do not like about themselves. So, now we need to list 20 things we do like about ourselves. Easy? Go ahead and spend 5 minutes with a pen and paper. During my seminars I have run over the last 20 years or so, many said, how about 2 things I like about myself instead of 20? I once received a phone call rather late at night from one of the seminar members, and there were groans and comments such as, Steve, when I came home from teaching at the school earlier this evening and started the list of things I like about myself, it took me an hour to come up with the first one. It took almost that long for the second one, and now it's 10:30 in the evening and I've only 5 things on my list. Clearly, this was the most important homework in the 10-week seminar for this person. And given this is such an important task, we need to take time so that we can complete a list and then believe in it and move on. Step 3, which is to say positive things about yourself aloud to others. Good things may be easier to write to ourselves privately than to say out loud. All the old messages inside our heads start with, don't act stuck up and conceited. Please, work hard at ignoring such messages and take your list and share it with a good friend. Get the courage in place to break this negative pattern and realize that it is normal to make good comments about yourself. However, I realize it does take courage to say them out loud. Often the reason for this anxiety is that the voice, which I term the internal critical parent, links to statements directly or indirectly made to you during your formative years, such as childhood and when you were a teenager. In one seminar, Charlie said that he could not do this step too because his parents had told him not to get a big head. Charlie was a good athlete in school and the exercises could have helped him build confidence in himself. But the parent's voice was louder, and he'd learned to be humble. As an adult, he could not say good things about himself because he still felt his parent's voice in his mind. The statement may sound ridiculous to you, but it was certainly not to Charlie. Step 4 is a tough one for many. Re-examine your relationships with others. Make changes which will help you break destructive patterns and develop a, well, if you like, a new you. Much of your self-concept is validated by feedback from others. Which of your relationships, be they friendships, family relationships, work relationships, are constructive, and which are negative? Take a look, when you have a moment, at one of the articles I've written on the, placed on the website, on life transitions, to learn more about the key dynamics in this process. Changing your relationships may be very difficult due to our tendency to follow old patterns and find relationships that reinforce your present level of self-concept. But I believe that if you sincerely want to feel better about yourself, you need to invest in positive relationships, and those are the ones where they help you feel good about being you. We all hear the messages in our head. Nurturing and critical parents, to use terms I work with from transactional analysis. And these voices can be from our parents, significant adults during our formative years, such as grandparents, aunts and uncles, teachers, and so on. Step 5. Get rid of the negative self-thoughts in your head. We all hear the messages in our head. Nurturing and critical parent, to use the terms I work with from transactional analysis. And these voices can be from our parents, significant adults during our formative years, such as grandparents, aunts, uncles, teachers. Remember, it's wrong to be conceited and selfish. Or, you think you're so clever, don't you? Such messages are destructive and prevent you from improving yourself. Concept. They were originally designed to discipline and control, but unfortunately for many, they turn out to be neither helpful nor productive in our adult life. As adults, we can make the decision to choose whether we want to continue to listen to such messages. In transactional analysis, we take these messages from your parent or child and analyze them with your adult mind to see if they're rational and appropriate messages at this time in your adult life. Then we hold on to the accurate, valued statements and dispel inappropriate messages and beliefs. We will work on these feelings, so write or record some of these messages so you can work with me on preventing them from controlling your current and future life. Step 6. May sound like a stupid activity, but it worked well for a lady called Jane in one of the seminars. I suggest that you write positive notes to yourself and pin them up around a private space, say in your home. Notes that compliment or reflect positive things about you. A week later at the seminar discussion, she reported how the exercise grew from 10 to 100 notes to herself, even placing one on the toilet. She became a different person. Her self-concept improved 100-fold, and so writing notes to herself appeared to make the difference. Okay, such a dramatic change is rare, but shows the power of active effect. Step 7 is to open yourself up to hearing positive comments from others. People tend to hear only what they want to hear. If you have a low self-concept, you will hear only negative comments that people make. When someone praises you, you deny it, or you ignore it, or rationalize it by saying, "Oh, they're just saying that, but they don't really mean it." Some people protect themselves from positive comments because their basic self-concept says that positive comments don't fit with their view of themselves. So the next time someone praises you or compliments you, then try to let the compliment soak in rather than defending yourself against hearing it. When you can hear positive comments, then you will begin to feel better about yourself. Step 8. Make specific change in your behavior. Determine a part of your personality that you want to change. Maybe you would like to say hello to more people, or for that matter to be on time for work, or to stop putting off small jobs. Decide to change the chosen behavior every day for a week. Make the change easy so that you can accomplish it and feel a measure of regular success. In essence, do not set yourself up for failure by deciding to make an impossibly big change in the first week. Perhaps you will want to write out your progress, so that you can look back and realize that you have practically accomplished these tasks. The first week is step 1. The second week is step 2, which focuses on another small change. And so, after a few weeks, you will notice significant changes improving your self-concept. Step 9 is great fun, and I practice it all the time. Give and get more hugs. Break through the isolation which has grown around you, and a warm, meaningful hug from a friend reinforces far more than spoken words can. A hug heals us and improves our self-concept much more rapidly, and it frees us, makes us warm inside, and immediately improves feelings of self-worth. Step 10 suggests you work hard at meaningful communication with another person. Some of the most significant growth people were able to experience after the ending of a relationship was whilst communicating with their friends. So ask for and give honest feedback about each other, and say things that you've never said to anyone before. Step 11 has to do with therapy. As we work together, we create a safe space and guidance from someone like me, who has over 35 years professional experience, shortens the time it takes to change your self-concept. Thankfully now, in 2014, therapy does not have the stigma that it did when I started working in this area in the 1980s, because most therapy now is focusing on personal growth, whereas in the past therapy usually meant mental illness. As we work at these exercises, we are focusing on losing the poor view you have at present of yourself, as this rebuilding phase will probably affect more aspects of your life than any of the others. Please give yourself adequate time to deal with this important area. When you are comfortable with most of these items, you've moved through to the next stage of rebuilding. So here's the checklist for our next session. 1. I'm willing to work hard to improve my self-concept. 2. I want to improve my self-concept even though I understand it will change many aspects of my life. 3. I like the person I am. 4. I feel I'm an attractive person. 5. I like my body. 6. I feel attractive and sexually desirable. 7. I feel confident most of the time. 8. I know and understand myself. 9. I no longer feel like a failure because my relationship has ended. 10. I feel capable of building deep and meaningful relationships. 11. I'm the type of person I'd like to have as a good friend. 12. I'm attempting to improve my self-concept by using the 11 steps listed in this section of the rebuilding program. 13. I feel what I have to say is important to others. 14. I feel I have an identity of my own. 15. I have hope and faith that I can improve my self-concept. 16. I'm confident that I can solve the problems that are now currently facing me. 17. I am confident that I can adjust to this crisis in my life. And finally, number 18. I can listen to criticism without becoming angry and defensive.